I'd like to see Felicia, who's doing some research around dance. Is that what you're speaking about?
I am a student in Goldsmiths University. I am presenting the work of an independent student, and I'm presenting my master's thesis with a group of older persons with dementia and Japanese.
Now, ideally, your 20 minutes needs to be 10 now.
Okay. I will be brief. I found the last few figures very moving.
Just click my friend.
Because my family is very important to me as well, and my grandmother has a mentor. So that can be later. Just about the title, I wrote older persons with dementia because this reminds me of what Kit Wood says about the person goes first. So it's always a person with dementia. So I just will welcome you to our dancing room psychotherapy session, who are John, Peter, Rose, Lee, and Amy. All of their names have been changed for confidentiality purposes. And they were the clients that were in the session. And poor Eve and Bridget. Eve and Bridget were two other clients that came into the group when Rosalie and Amy were discharged. So this sentiment therapy group suffered changes throughout the process. Why were they selected? Because they were in the first stages of dementia, so they were still cognitively functional and they could understand what was going on in the session. Who are the DMP? I will refer to myself, the trained dental therapist. The co-worker was a trained nurse that was always in our sessions. And the community mental health team and mental health teams were part of the support network that allowed this work to take place. And also I had on-site and off-site supervision, both at the placement and at the university. And also personal therapy, so that there was a huge support network for these sessions. Had the dental therapy group, we met every Tuesday. We chose a room between my line manager and I in a place that was quite spacious with nice windows that had many objects around that helped sort of with their memory, like old newspapers that said the queen is crowned, the Everest is crowned, sort of old newspapers. And where this was in a London primary care trust, and the process was started from December last year and it ended around April. I will try to be as brief as I can. I looked up a definition of dementia. I will try not to bore you with theory a lot, but I think it's important to include it. And this is a definition by McCann. And it says it is the decline in memory and other cognitive functions in comparison with the patient's previous level of function as determined by a history of declining performance and by abnormalities noted from clinical examination and neuropsychological tests. I didn't write this in my thesis. I know that Dr. Whitehouse talks about dementia being a condition as well. So that is something that I would also like to integrate into my practice. Now to the team of loss, entering the team of loss in psychotherapy for older persons. Clients understand the feeling of loss as mourning. So throughout my work, I use loss and mourning as synonyms. And very important for me was the work of Freud, because he linked anxiety to a fear of loss because of loss of the object. So it was originally a mother that protected her baby to be hopelessly exposed to an unpleasurable tension due to instinctual needs. I understand that when the baby is faced with the fear of the loss of his mother, he experiences anxiety. And anxiety, the unpleasurable tension that Freud describes, in an embodied sense, could be felt as a shock, stillness, lack of air or restricted breathing, muscle tension, an impulse to cry, a need to evacuate, shivering, or other somatic responses related to fear. So he says that once this initial encounter with loss has been recognized, the individual can continue the work of mourning. And that proper identity testing is important in the work of mourning as well. Then Melanie Klein cites Abraham when he says that in the work of normal mourning, the individual succeeds in establishing the lost person in his ego, while the alcoholic has failed to do so. I would like to read also Baldi talks about when there is a threat of the loss of an attachment figure, there is anxiety. And the actual loss creates sorrow as well. And both are likely to arouse anger. So anger was sometimes present in the session. I think Baldi seems to echo the relation that corresponds between anxiety and the fear of the loss of the object. Robertson found that there were three stages in the separation response: protest, despair, and denial or detachment. Agnes, in his chapter for psychological therapies for older people, talks about the loss of independence. So please mention it there. And also, Kipu talks about that a person with dementia might not experience having a linear course of time. So for example, if there is a grief or something that is brought up in the session, that might bring old feelings of grief and sorrow in the client. And also, he talks about strong reactions that might be evoked in the therapist with a person's death, for example. And he says that over and above the grief that actually belongs to the event, the therapist or the carers might also be caught up in overwhelming feelings of sorrow and loss. I wanted to share two definitions for Danceless psychotherapy, because the one being used now by leading practitioners, leading entities, is Kudo's definition, which is Danceless therapy as an interdisciplinary treatment medium, a hybrid of the art of dance and the science of psychology brought together for human service. And there is also the definition of the Dental Therapy Association that describes DMT as the psychotherapeutic use of movements in dance through which a person can engage in a process to further the cognitive, physical, and social integration. I would like to take the seed of Dr. Cohen's work. And so just to mention that I think the creative care approach that he proposes is a very useful and effective tool, because it includes embodied practices, the concept of personhood. He considers care staff and promotes communication and enjoyment in the client's experience of a DMT group. And also the Gentleman Therapy Group and Loss, Helen Zane talks about, she did a professional development group, trial group with therapists, and she, in her findings, she saw how a DMP must understand how the context, conflict, absence, loss, and release, and person's impact on a group process. So she says that the therapist needs to build her skills as well. So just some brief clinical examples. Our time and space boundaries, we met once a week, always in the same room, and just a few phrases from my clients. First, I want to say that our session had three moments: a warm-up, a moving or development time, and then a closing or cool-down. I followed what we call a Chasian model, a model designed by Marion Chase. I'll just read through them. And all of these phrases came from the movement experience and from the development of the therapeutic relationship. So, Amy, why can't we remember our names? Stan, in the fourth session, he spoke about the machine at work, and he did this kind of movement. But when he did it, we saw that he was missing two fingers from one of his hands. So there was this moment when a lot of what's visual in the session. And later on, really felt confident enough to say, I want to get up and dance, but others will think that it's a waste of time. But in this session, Peter said, I can dance with you. So mostly, we were sitting in a circle because clients don't feel very comfortable standing up, so we needed to take care of that. And but in this session, Lily felt confident, so she stood in the middle and we shared a moment. Peter, by 13 seconds, said, I would like to see what it is. He was talking about a parachute that he opened up, and we shared together as a prop in the session that we shared in a common movement. By the 16th session, Peter started talking about, he said, I am not lost, I just feel lost. Mm-hmm. It was a moment when he actually verbalized in the session, I feel lost, and Bridget asked him, why are you lost? And he verbalized it. But by the 16th, in the same session, because three of the clients had been discharged and two others took their place, he said the people in our group have changed and also the material that we use has changed. He was talking about the props in the session. By the 20th session, Bridget was talking about losing a pair of scissors. So as you can see, this is a very brief sort of vignette of what my client said during the session, but that it illustrates how the lesson started to be present.
Yes, I'm just wondering if you're able to finish that or just summarize.
Okay.
That's the challenge, I realize.
All right. Peter passed away by the 22nd session. I wasn't able to tell the group in that session. And during that session, even though I couldn't tell the group, Chan's arms moved very slowly like a bird taking flight. And I thought that it was as if Peter was taking flight from a group. This was how the chair of Peter looked on the session when I was able to tell the group that he had passed away. The Shan had asked me to take all of the beanbags and put them in the chair, mm-hmm. and to take a vase of flowers and also put it in the chair. And it was a very profound, deep, and powerful moment within the session. And the counter-transference that I felt from the client was very, very, very strong. As a therapist, I have to say that loss is heavy, and at the university I started to move, to let this weight go. And the dance was painful. I would like to say as a therapist how loss feels in my own body. And it feels like clenched fists. Sometimes it feels like anger. Sometimes it feels like I want to go down on the ground and look up. Because it feels like tension, it feels like it's there, maybe like a knot. Some of the losses identified, loss of security, loss of memory, loss of performing daily tasks, loss of independence. And this is what I talked about at the beginning of all grief that might come up in the session. These are two that I don't mention in the thesis, but that were present as well. The group felt when the space was lost and when the group member passed away. The limitations, the core questionnaire, they had a lot of questions about 30-something, and the core 10 questionnaires are more useful because they only have 10 questions. Some of the projections for the work, I think that we should consider creative care methods, dementia care mapping, and core 10 questionnaires. So finally, I think that being lost, in a sense, could be an invitation to adapt to the unknown when embarking in a dance movement therapy process. And I would like to symbolically give a gift to the last speaker that represents all of the families of clients with dementia, and it is a picture of Marian Tate, the first dance movement therapist, and this is an invitation from the therapist to the client to embark in a dance movement therapy process so we can help them cope with their losses and have a better quality of life.